Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel again. And this video is about prisons in the United Kingdom, because that's where I reside. Perhaps I should do one about prisons in the Republic of Ireland, where I'm from sometime. But anyway, about England principally, because yeah, there's the UK, but England's the major part of it, like 50% of the land area, 83% of the population. And the law in Caledonia is somewhat different from South Britain. Likewise, Wales, not quite sure. Sometimes they get statistics for Wales and England, sometimes solely for England. But the picture would be broadly the same in Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales as it is in South Britain. So Shabana Mahmood, she's the Justice Secretary, or I should say Lord Chancellor and Secretary of State for Justice. That's one very long title, but usually just known as either Justice Secretary or Lord Chancellor for short. So she's 45 years old, a barrister. She was at Lincoln College, Oxford, an exact contemporary Rishi Sunak, where they got on quite well. But anyway, Miss Mahmood, she's the first Home Secretary of Muslim origin. Maybe that's irrelevant, but here we are. So there's certainly problems in the prison system in England, the whole UK too. And that's why when the Labour Party assumed office on the 5th of July, it was bursting at the seams. It was sort of like 98% full. It was going to get to the stage where the police would arrest people charged with very serious crimes, even murder, and there'd be no place to put them. For human rights reasons, you couldn't crowd too many into the cell. So they took the drastic step of releasing people early. Now, people very seldom serve the full sentence. If you get a very short sentence, like 6 weeks, you will probably not even serve 3 weeks, more like 2 weeks. Very long sentence, like 35 years, you'll serve most of that. There's remission. They let you off for good behavior, but I'm not quite sure how they calculate it. But the longer the sentence, the higher the percentage of it you're going to serve. But if someone's going to serve 2 weeks, is there any point detaining this person in the first place? You have to do quite a lot to go to prison. But then again, there was a woman who posted some distasteful content on the internet this August. I think she said something about burn down the houses where immigrants are. Okay, that's an incitement to violence. I like to think it was a sick joke. So yeah, I certainly have no truck with what she said. But she got 3 years in prison. And I thought, however repugnant what she said is, people shouldn't be sent to prison for saying something, even if something ghastly like that. Really, there are dangerous people who've actually committed crimes who need to be locked up, like violent crimes, really harm people, and not just saying something, however asinine, however repugnant. So we just so often get it wrong. People like her, who should be given heavy fines or something, get incarcerated. People are very dangerous, don't. Well, there was someone who had 176 convictions for shoplifting who didn't get one day in prison. I know shoplifting is trifling, okay. Be very difficult to try and run a small business, people running these small enterprises, or even a big chain of supermarkets, because the way that's taken for all of us. And I'm perhaps too much of an angel of mercy, give people a warning and community service and fines. But you know, if she's been convicted for 176, how many she's done? I would say tenfold would be about a right estimate. Anyway, because the police won't come if it's worth less than £200. It's been virtually decriminalised, I mean, by the last Conservative government. I mean, Labour, I suppose, rightly said that the Conservatives, they could have changed sentencing policy, they could have built more prison space, but they didn't. So this was a real hospital pass that Labour invented. But surprise, surprise, when they let people out early, the crime is going up because they're more felons back on the street. The other thing is that people know that it's very, very difficult to get sent to prison these days. So Shabana Mahmood, it was a difficult decision. I think she took the right one. But, you know, prisons can be very, very, very quickly. Look at these coronavirus hospitals built very, very quickly. It's also open prisons where they wander around freely. Often they're going out to work for several hours a day on farms and graveyards and whatever. Not something where there's access to weapons or like money. And there's much lower security. It's very lax. It costs way less, meant to prepare them to reintegrate. And they've got the run of the place, the grounds, the playing sports, working their own little farm. But people say there's so few prison officers that really the prisons run that. Drugs, alcohol, smuggled very easily, put into a tennis ball, thrown over the wall, whatever, very low wall. If you want to escape from an open prison, it's very simple to do so. But you'd be an imbecile because you get that if you're non-violent right at the end of your sentence, only a year to go. And then you'd be free. So serve out that 1 year. Because if you run away and you get caught, you get sent back to a real prison where it's harsh and you can be in a cell 23 hours a day. So I have mixed feelings. I think the United Kingdom sometimes jails people when it shouldn't and doesn't jail people when it should, at least not for long enough. So there's a huge backlog of cases before the courts, partly because in coronavirus, the UK was a bit slow about making these trials online, was too laggardly. So there's 68,000 cases and there are 17,000 people on remand. That's in prison awaiting trial. If it's a very grave crime like rape or murder or kidnapping or major supply class A drugs, you will be detained whilst you're waiting your trial, while you're on a trial. If it's minor things, they'll be bailed. Police usually wouldn't oppose police bail. If the police oppose police bail, the magistrate can grant it anyway, but they seldom do. You can go home, await your trial at home. Usually not allowed to go abroad during that time. I know a man who was facing trial for fraud, non-violent crime, first time he was accused of anything, so good character. And he wasn't allowed to go on holiday for a couple of years, I was waiting for the trial to come up. And then he was acquitted. So people can be let out on license. So people usually after 50% of the sentence they were let out. Now they're letting out after 40% of the license. So Jabana Mahmood has said that magistrates could speed up and sentence people up to 12 months, but usually they can sentence up to 24 months if they think that's inadequate. Because the crime is so grave, their sentencing powers don't reflect the severity of the punishment that ought to be imposed. They can send people up to the Crown Court, which has got far more extensive sentencing powers, all the way up to life in prison without possibility of parole. Anyway, so what should be done? There's the most successful model is like the Scandinavian model, where prisons are very small, sense of community. The prison officers know your name. They're very highly trained and educated. They know a lot about psychology, trying to get the best out of you to turn bad people into good people. And it's mostly successful. The only trouble is very, very expensive because of the staff ratios, the level of training they have to have, the quality of the facilities. And prison doesn't seem like a punishment at all. I mean, Germany reacted the right way to the Second World War, saying we are now going to be the most humane place in the world and treat even the cruelest people gently. And so that's highly successful. You have the complete opposite model you have in totalitarian societies, which really put the accent on punishment, are just fixated with this and are very cruel indeed. And that can work, but I think that's just so unjust and inhumane. And the United States tends towards that. So I think we need to be more sensible about this. I think it was right that Hugh Edwards didn't go to prison. I know what he did was just nauseating. Okay, he was only looking at images. I realized as a victim on the end of this, and a boy as young as 8 years old. And obviously it turns my stomach how anyone could want to do that. I like to believe that Hugh Edwards is insane. You know, he said he had psychiatric problems. I can't diagnose him. Psychiatrists say that he has. He's obviously ruined his career. He'd led a blameless life to the age of 60 something. So, I mean, I don't think he's a danger to the public. So I'm glad that he stayed out of jail. He looking at images, no matter how disgustable, people shouldn't be jailed for that. I mean, making them or selling them is different. Well, what else could be done? Yeah, I mean, just not enough work is done in prison and they're all doing these functional skills. Why do they not learn them in school in the first place? Failure of the educational system. I remember going to a speech by Anne Widdecombe, a Conservative minister in the 90s, when she's prison minister, say they make socks. And where do these socks go? We don't manage to sell them. A prison chaplain told me they make nets for football goals. They get paid well below the minimum wage, but it's not slavery. And then there's some of that actually goes to pay for their bed and board. And what else about that? Then there's some sense of achievement, at least. So I think we're just not doing enough to, really keep the public safe, but also turn people's lives around. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.